You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. This is going to be the kicking segment. And I would say it's going to be short, but if it's anything like Charlie Smith, we're going to talk for a while. Because we mentioned this at the top, this man's introductory press conference was 27 minutes long. Like, those usually go 8-9 minutes. I think it does. It says one of two things. It says he likes to talk, but it also says he has kind of an interesting story. And so that's what I kind of want to get into at the top here is, you know, who is Charlie Smith? What is he doing? Why are the Saints bringing him in? I had to listen to his interview twice, which it's 27 minutes long. So, and part of that is because he has a really thick Irish accent. And I was like trying to make sure I was characterizing what he said correctly, but I couldn't always, you know, some of these accents, some of these Gaelic accents are really, really difficult.
What's funny is like I found myself leaning in to the computer to listen, and I'm like that's gonna help me any.
Yeah. It's also a Zoom call, so it's not necessarily the highest quality. So it's like, man. But he's really affable. He's 22, I believe. He is from Maerbridge, Newry, County Down, Northern Ireland. You can tell I'm not very worldly because I don't understand how you can be from four different places at once. But, you know, we'll move on from that. He's 6'4", 210, so he's a big guy. So it's just kind of funny. You're going to end up with this 6'4", 210, big dude played rugby in a kicking competition with Blake Groupie, who is like 5'7", 170, soaking wet. It is going to be so weird to watch those two guys compete. And Blake and the 5'7 guy is probably going to win. But yeah, so this is a guy who he did not kick a oblong football until, you know, like 15 months ago. He started training for an international showcase in Ireland, I believe. It might have been in Dublin. I can't recall. I didn't write it down. That was in August last year. That was the first time he kicked in a competitive environment, kicked a football in a competitive environment. And it's interesting because you look at other sports, right? You look at basketball, right? Name me the colleges of the top players in the NBA. You can for some of them. You can for the Duke guys, the Kentucky guys. But, you know, where did Nikola Jokic go to college, right? Where did, you know, Luka Doncic go to college? How about Giannis Antetokounmpo? You know, typically the guys who you struggle to say their names. They didn't, right? There's a pathway for European players that did not go through the college system, to get to the NBA. Same is true for baseball, right? You know, so you look at tennis, right? The international players dominate tennis. There's a lot of money invested in the tennis programs in America. We just aren't good at it. But there's a pathway for those people from outside of America that, you know, and it's USTA is different. That's a bad example, but you understand what I'm saying. In the NFL, that really doesn't exist. You know, like you kind of have to go through the college system to get into the NFL to even be looked at as a player that could play in the NFL. And it's, you're missing out. You know, you're losing a lot. That's why the NFL is starting to do all this international stuff. Cam Jordan was in the commercial of the Play Africa or whatever the program was. Like, there's a reason they're trying to build that out, because, like, you're kidding yourself if you don't think there are athletes outside of the spectrum of the NCAA that can contribute at the NFL level. Look at Brandon Aubrey. That's the guy Charlie Smith brought up, and it's a great example. He didn't play college football. He played college soccer, and he spent a year kicking for the Birmingham Stallions, and this last year he was an all-pro kicker. He was nailing them from 60 yards. I think he set a record for like the most 59 plus yard kicks in a single game. So these guys exist. It's just a matter of finding them. And I think the Saints are being very proactive about kind of going outside of their traditional circle and finding guys. And that's what you found with this guy. He played Gaelic football, right? And if you don't know what that is, it's kind of like a mix of soccer and rugby, right? So it's not exactly something that you would look at and be like, oh, okay, like this translates directly, but You can kick. You know? And so
I know you've seen the clip of him like drilling that 63-yarder.
I've got it.
Here, okay.
Let's see. So this is actually a clip of the 66-yarder.
Six.
In the crooked upright.
That is good. That is good from 4 or 5 yards extra.
The uprights, he's kicking on the field. The uprights are tilted. That's where he's kicking. You know? So to say he is raw is an understatement. He said that, you know, he kicked that 63-yarder at the showcase, like that international showcase, and he didn't even know what he was doing. Like, he said he has that video on his phone, and he looks at it, and he's like, the amount that my form has changed since this kick is crazy. He's like, he's kicking completely differently than he did at that point, but it's just a natural ability to kick a ball, right? And so it's neat. It's cool to see this guy have a pathway. He said that he sent an email to the NFL about 5 years ago asking for a way to get like tryouts or whatever. He also said he sent like a DM to like NFL UK, the Twitter account or the Instagram account. No one responded. And he was like, yeah, in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have expected much out of that. But like that's he couldn't figure out how to get even a chance, even to talk to an NFL team to be like, guys, I think I can do this. I think I'm pretty good. You know, and you've seen it, you know, you see all these Australian punters, right? You know, you've kind of accepted that the Aussie punter guys are pretty good. And, you know, you go to the SEC and they're all Australian punters, right? And it's like, how does that happen? Well, a lot of them go through the college ranks. Look at Lou Headley, right? He went to Miami. This is a 30-year-old man. He was a tattoo artist and a professional scaffolder. He went to Miami to kick. Right. And obviously, you know, he got an education, but this idea that you have to be a college student to play professional football is kind of silly. Right. It's kind of dumb.
I know a lot of people with this move too were asking, like, what does this mean for groupie?
You know, and yes, that is interesting. And we can segue into that because it plays into the new kickoff rule. Right.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of instances, if we were only talking about consistency as a kicker, consistency as a field goal kicker, I think that this would be a camp leg situation. You know, Blake's going to have the inside track regardless, but you would never have looked at it and said, if all we need is the most consistent version of a field goal kicker and someone who can kick it out of the back of the end zone, you would never, you know, you might try to develop this guy over time, but you would never go to him as a rookie. What changes that, in my opinion, is the new kickoff rule, which Darren Rizzi was one of the biggest champions of. And it's not hard to understand why. This is a guy who, this team prioritizes special teams to begin with. There's a reason their special teamers get scooped up like immediately whenever they hit the free agent market. Guys like Aesop Winston are getting signed. Like when you are a team that has a track record of producing high quality special teams talent, they get poached, first of all. So that's what the Saints do. They always go and find a returner. You know, when they have one of the top returners, they have an all-pro returner in Rashid Shaheed. So there is incentive to add returns to the game. I think the number was 20% in terms of kicks that actually got returned. And in most cases, it's like you probably shouldn't have returned that because you end up getting tackled short of the 25. One of Blake Groupie's traits that this team talked about, Dennis Allen talked about it several times, is he was so consistent on ball out of the back of the end zone on kickoffs. you eliminated kickoffs from the game. And with the old rule, that was the priority because the odds that you could pin someone inside the 20 were unlikely at best. With the new rule, kicking the ball on the fly into the end zone actually costs you, I think it brings it out to the 30. So teams will have an incentive to directionally kick on the kickoffs. And if I had to say something that I'm not sure of in terms of Blake Groupe is, can he do that? He did play soccer. So he, you know, he has a little bit more than just being a, like, I kick field goals my entire life, right? He does. I think he probably can directionally kick, but we haven't seen it. So that is something that in this instance, with that now being a priority, because if you kick it short of the end zone, you have a chance to tackle him. You know, I think that you have a potential for, you know, if Blake really struggles at that, and that's something that Charlie does particularly well, why wouldn't you go with him? And you also saw, like, what did you see Darren Rizzi do with the punting situation last year? He went with the guy who he could game plan punt coverages and eliminate returns. So he prioritizes that over distance in the punting game. So if you don't think he's going to have a place a high value on that in the return game, I think you're wrong.
I thought it was interesting too. Did Gillikin even end up anywhere after being let go by the Saints? I don't think so.
He was in Arizona. Yeah.
He kicked for Arizona.
Yeah. And he was fine. But you just saw the way Darren Rizzi wants his special teams coverage units
to defend. And it didn't look pretty, but it was effective for the Saints.
He did what they wanted him to do. He eliminated returns.
Yeah.
And I think that with nothing changing in the punt game, you're going to see him back. Now, what I find interesting is, and I recommend, you know, I was stuck at an airport in Richmond, Virginia, the smallest airport I have ever been in. They had a UFL game on. It was the San Antonio Brahmas, which is a chicken, by the way, against like DC, whatever. John Trey Kirkland is actually on the San Antonio team.
Okay.
He was with the Saints practice squad last year. And so the UFL has that same kickoff rule. It was the rule for the NFL has kind of been translated from what the UFL does. So if you want to see how this kind of looks, go watch a UFL game. And what will immediately strike you is, like, with the setup zone and the elimination of being able to get a running start, every return you can be like, every return is like either you make a play or they break it. It's no longer going to be he returns it and like maybe he can get out past the 20 and he's like, you know, gets blown up. Like, if you have a top end return guy, you can see immediately, like, if a team is not on point with its coverage, I mean, these things can go to the house. You know, you're seeing kick returns out to the 40, no sweat. And so I think this is going to be a, you know, here's what Mickey Loomis said when he was asked about it at the owners' meetings. And I think he makes some good points, and we'll look at it.
Like, does that change anything with how you build special teams?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think that's part of the equation here is, you know, and we don't have all the answers to that because we haven't really seen it in our league yet. So how does that change the makeup of your roster? I don't think it's going to be real significant, but it'll be, you know, there'll be some tweaks. And look, we support that change. I think, you know, we need to do something to get the kickoff back in the game. And I think this is a you know, viable solution. You know, we'll see if it gets voted in or not, but I think the kickoff's one of the most exciting plays in our game. And so when you're down to, you know, only getting 20% of the kickoffs return, then, you know, we need to do something.
So Mickey was obviously speaking there prior to the vote, and it has been adopted along with the banning the hip drop tackle, which is another thing that's going to be, it's going to affect games and people are going to lose their mind. But, you know, well, I agree with him that you're not going to completely remake your roster based on this. I do think that he's underselling. Like, I think this is going to have a big impact on scoring. I think teams are going to score a lot more points. I think you're going to see a lot more kickoff returns, long kickoff returns, short fields after kickoffs, a lot more kickoff return touchdowns, right? If you go back like 15 years ago, people were in the league because they returned kicks. A guy like Dwayne Harris comes to mind. He was on the Cowboys for a long time. He's not in the NFL if he's not a return man. If this was 5 years ago, he's not getting signed because the value of a receiver who doesn't really catch passes is not significant enough to use a roster spot. In this type of kickoff environment, you are going to sign guys. Guys like Devin Hester will exist again. Guys like Ted Ginn will have so much more value because every time you kick the ball to them, you are risking seven. And if you don't, if you want to kick it out of the end zone, the other team starts at the 30. You know how big, like 20 to the 30, 15 yards? It's only a 100-yard field. You know, it's like, that's a big chunk of the field. And I don't think teams are going to just accept that we're giving the ball to the 30, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I think it's going to be a significant change in how, not so much the roster makeup, but the strategy employed. I think you'll see fewer field goals. I think you'll see teams in third and medium who are afraid to kick it to a Rashid Shaheed. Maybe be more aggressive because you might be trading 3 for 7. You know, Dan Campbell is the kind of standard bearer of being aggressive on fourth downs. And I think you'll see teams are already erring that way to begin with. And I think you're going to see that get even more significant. So I don't know. I think it's going to drastically impact games in a fun way, in a way that's exciting, in a way that I think the Saints, it's not a coincidence that their special teams coach is championing this because
right.
I think the Saints gain a distinct advantage because of how they already prioritize special teams.
Yeah, it definitely helps, obviously, too, having that guy like Rashid Shaheed in the mix who could bust one easily for you. And I thought it was funny. I think it was not very long after the new kickoff rule got approved that the Pittsburgh Steelers go ahead and they sign Cordarrelle Patterson.
No, seriously.
I'm glad he's not in Atlanta anymore for sure.
It's going to be a shift. You're going to see games. Like I remember it was a Super Bowl in 2000, I want to say, Giants-Ravens. The only time I've ever seen back-to-back kickoff return touchdowns.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly because the Giants were getting boat raced in that game. And you turned it on. You know, I had an indoor soccer game. I vividly remember this. And I missed the first half of the Super Bowl. And I get home and I was like, the first thing I see is the Giants. I can't remember who it was, but they return a kickoff for a touchdown. They're down like 20, but it's like, okay, maybe that jump starts.
It'll be a spark.
Yeah. All they have to do is get a stop and suddenly it's a different game. Instead, they kick it and immediately another kickoff return touchdown on the next kickoff. And I think you're going to start to see stuff like that again. You're going to start to see dynamic playmakers able to impact the game in those big moments in big ways. Like late in a game, you're going to have to make the decision that is give the other team the ball. Like you score a go-ahead field goal, right, with a minute left. You're going to have to make the decision to either give that team the ball at the third or kick it to a guy who could literally end the game on that play. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see Rashid Shaheed in that role because Rashid Shaheed, you know, he is a kickoff returner. Like that's one of the reasons he was able to stand out in college was his kickoff return ability. And he's going to be able to use that again. He has 7 kickoff return touchdowns in like 3 years at Weber State, 4 years at Weber State. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. And I'm looking forward to how it changes the game. But yeah, that's all I have.
Yeah,
but that's all
the
I
idea
have.
Of getting more returns has to bring more excitement to the game for sure. Cause it's been abysmal.
Agreed. But yeah, like if you want to understand why I feel this way, go watch any UFL game, anyone, and you'll see immediately the difference of like, man, there's so much space to work with. And these elite athletes are able to navigate so much more easily. And the coverage teams are at huge disadvantage. So it's going to be two things. So we talked about the return guy, but it's also going to be, okay, what teams are really good in kickoff coverage return? Because that's another thing that'll be able to impact game. Because if you are kicking off that way, then you also have the ability to pin someone back real deep if they screw it up. So I think week one,
it's going to be interesting how many returns we get in the first week.
When you're going to see teams come up with strategies in real time, none of these teams have had to do this before.
Right.
So
that's why I do like too that Rizzi's like at the head of this. It almost seems like so. One of the masterminds behind this is on the Saints, so they should have an advantage.
I would bet that Darren has spent weeks of his life thinking about how he's going to do this when he finally gets it over the finish line, and now it's like Yes. Like, you really, like, that man is already kind of intense. I wouldn't be surprised if he like broke a light bulb jumping, doing like a Mario coin jump when the vote came in. But no, I mean, again, you know, you can tell by like, I watch one UFL game and I'm like, okay, this is going to be a thing. This is going to be a thing. But that's all I got. And yeah, Charlie Smith, I'm excited to see how he operates. I'm excited to see whether that leg is legit when it's a little bit more pressure on the line. But, you know, I also appreciate what the NFL is doing to kind of bring in these international guys, because they shouldn't have to be sending DMs on Twitter and Instagram to try to get a chance.
I guess we'll be keeping an eye on two special teams a little bit more this training camp.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think, you know, what's probably going to end up happening is Blake Groupie wins that job, because Blake Groupie is the more consistent kicker. And you trust him a little bit more. As long as he shows that he can be that directional kickoff guy, I think he wins that job. And you keep Charlie Smith around. I know a lot of people were like, oh, he's got a three-year contract. All UDFA contracts are 3 years. That's just kind of the deal. So don't read too much into like, oh, they paid him on a three-year contract. Blake Groupie also got a three-year contract. That's how it works. But it does secure his rights there. So they'll be able to, you know, if they go through the season and they're like, I think he's going to be a real good kicker. He just needs a year to like learn how to kick at football, you know, not a Gaelic football. I think you're going to do that. But like, yeah, one of the things you do in Gaelic football is there's a lot more kickoffs. There's a lot more, you know, it goes out of bounds. You kick it. You don't throw it. You kick it. So I think there's a lot more experience in terms of how to manage that. Same way Lou, with the rugby background, was able to do that. So that's all I got on the kicking game. We were able to talk for 20 minutes about the kicking game. So
no, it's a big change. And like you said, definitely, I think a lot of people are anxious, obviously, to see what it looks like. But I'm excited, too, hearing the fact that it's just going to open up things and encouraging more of these returns. 20% kickoff return rate for last season. That's terrible.
No, and like what Mickey said, like the kickoff used to be one of the most exciting parts of the game, and now it's become the most boring part of the game.
Let me go like, get something from the fridge, right?
Yeah, if broadcast just decided to skip the kickoff and come back on the first play of the next drive,
nobody wouldn't care, right?
Maybe once a season you'd be like, wait, how did they score?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we'll see. But it's going to be something I bet we see a lot of in training camp. Like you've in a lot of instances in training camp, they'll start working on kickoffs and return, and everyone will go get a drink of water and get out of the sun. I think it's going to be a lot more interesting this year in terms of how they, because they're going to have to drill that, you know, like they're going to have to learn how to do that on both sides of the ball. So I think that's going to be something that you see a lot of.
No, and it'll be in sunny California.
And it'll be in sunny Irvine, California. So no one here will get to watch it until real time. But anyway, all right, let's wrap up that thing. We're going to come back. We're going to real quick kind of go into, okay, what are the things that Saints have left to do? They've checked a lot of boxes. There are several boxes, some very big boxes.
There's a lot of boxes to check.
So we'll get into that. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. Subscribe. We'll be right back.